What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Tulos Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to Tulos.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And welcome to Artist Spotlight. Let's go. And today we have a special guest. This guest actually came in with plaques already, you know.
Yeah.
We know we save all the spotlight for people on the come up also, but this guy already got some, he already got some weight under his name. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He was signed by my bro. I seen Jay coming up when he was Archie's assistant. Like, I seen him come up. So when he first got over the island and he hit me about you, it was on some like big bro shit. Like, yo, bro, yeah. I just signed his artist. Check him out. I'm like, nigga, I'm just happy that you killing this shit, nigga. I'm just happy for you. So I'm just happy for Jay. I'm happy for everybody involved. But we got Sleazy's World in here. Let's go. I said it right, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't wanna, you know, sometimes you read it, you like, nigga might say, no, it's Sleazy. My bad, bro. My bad.
Crazy,
you know, be some crazy shit. Like, no. That's not how I pronounce Sleazy. I'm like, okay, cool. My bad. But yeah, man, by the way, shout out to our sponsor. Shout out to Tulos Distribution. If you were distributed by anybody, if you weren't on a major, I would definitely push you to go with Tulos, but mm-hmm. You're already on a major. So yeah. I wanna talk to you about Sleazy World. Like, I want to talk, how did you come up with the name? Like, how did you create the character that is this? Like, I see the chain on and I'm like, what I like artists to understand when we do this show is that it's all about branding. It's all about character development. Like, they be thinking like, because there's a kid watching you that's like, oh, he looking at you right now, he's like, if I just had a chain, I'm telling you, I could be him. And it's like, nah, bro, like he mm-hmm. is. I've been listening to your interviews. You really understand.
No, for sure.
The weight of what you're doing.
I mean, like, so when I first started, before I even can afford a chain, like, I couldn't afford a lot of shit. I couldn't afford designer when I first started making music, when I first started dropping. So, like, I get, like, my own clothes made, like, printed with Sleazy on it. Because I want motherfuckers, like you said, it was branding. It was a part of branding. So, it's like, motherfuckers see me, they see what I got on, they gonna automatically, like, in their head, they gonna read that Sleazy,
you know?
Then when they ask who you is, I'm gonna tell them. So it's gonna be stuck in their head. Like, now they see it and they hear it.
Yeah.
So, like, I always did that shit coming up. Like, that's how I did it to, like, brand myself, you know, before I could, like, buy a jewelry. But, like, if you see all my pieces got, like, it say Sleazy on them.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
So, you're from Kansas City. Shout out to Funny Marco. Funny Marco, that's my kid. That's like my little brother. Like, I raised
my dog.
Him. That's from Kansas City. Yeah. I had him when he had 30,000 followers. When he was like trying to figure out if he's coming to Atlanta. He came in and lived with me.
Yeah.
But so I know. First of all, y'all got the Kansas City Chiefs, so I already know that y'all walking around like chest puffed out. On, like, we got the Michael Jordan of football, nigga. But you're from Kansas City, and this show is for artists who dream. This show is to give the artists an inside. What I like about you being from Kansas City is that you didn't come in here like with Kansas City as a burden.
Yeah.
You know, some people, when you meet them, they're like, I'm like, where you from? I'm from Iowa. And it's like, and it's nothing there. Or I'm from Little Rock. And it's like, nah, dog, you could be, that's even better that you're from a little city. You could create what's cool to them. Like,
It's a lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot there.
Yeah. So when you coming out of Kansas City, what was your thought process? Like, were you thinking to yourself, like, I'm from this small place, so I got to go to New York? Or were you thinking to yourself, like, I'm going to light this bitch up? Like, what was your thought process going into it?
My thought process was really like, I'm from this small place, so how do I get these other places to notice me?
Got you. What was your thought process? What was you thinking? What was your plan?
To really just like promote my music as much and myself and my music as much as I can, you know. I feel like my fans played a big part. Like, the fans that started in the city, they'd travel and they'd play my music around other people. Like, oh yeah, this the artist that's popping in my city right here.
Got you.
And then they'd put it on their playlist, and now they playing it around their friends
playlist.
And their fans. So it's like, your fans is gonna travel your music for you.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
They take pride in you.
Yeah, yeah. So they gonna travel it for you. So I feel like that was a big part of my success right there. Like my fans was just playing my music for other people and they became fans of me and they got to playing it for other people and it just got to traveling from different cities. Then I'm from Grand Rapids, so it's like that city already. Like I'm originally born in Grand Rapids.
So
you know
so
what I'm
give
saying?
Me give me the difference in Grand Rapids and Kansas City, like for someone that doesn't know what that means.
Shit, Grand Rapids is smaller. It's even harder to make it out.
It's even harder.
Yeah, it's even harder to make it out. So like, I was born there and I was raised in Kansas City, Missouri. So
got
it's
you.
Like, I'm coming out of both of these
spots. Small cities,
like,
yeah.
You know, it's hard to make it out of. I be thinking about it all the time. Like,
yeah.
I was blessed to make it. You
but
know
you
what
also
I'm saying?
Did something very smart.
Yeah.
You named your first record that blew you up after you.
I'm telling you, everything
that's what
I was
saying.
Doing
like,
was
that's
after
smart,
me.
Bro. Like, but people watching this don't understand that. I'm like, bro, you have to incorporate as much of the brand into
everything you do,
you do as much as
do.
Possible. Because if you don't, nigga, you leaving chance for a misconception, right? Like,
if you look at all my mixtapes before I signed the deal, they all got my name in it. My first project I dropped was called Big Sleaze, and then I dropped The Sleazy Way. And then my last one before I signed was called Sleazy.
Got you.
So, like, everything I was doing,
coming
I was putting my
name.
Brand. Yeah.
I always use Mike Jones as an example. Like, who? Mike Jones. Like, you had to know his name. Like, you had to know his phone number. Like, he would, like, rap his phone number. I'm like, I know it feels small, but when you're from a small place, you kind of got to do those little things to give yourself an edge in the big world we live in. Because you don't have it ain't like I could say, oh, he from, like, I was just at the Billboard event, and Playboi Carti came out, you know, and he goes, at the end of his speech, he goes, shout out to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as many people might not know Carti is from Atlanta, he from the South Side. It's like, that identity gives him something, because you're like, in our world, like, where did he come from?
Yeah.
Like, where the fuck did you come from? Like, how did you, because it almost is like fans getting mad, like you almost imposed on their life. Like, how dare you make a record and you popping out, like, I ain't never heard of you, I ain't never.
Nah, I'd be like
nah,
that.
Nah, be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta come out, like, with the, almost like, with the audaciousness of like, nah, nigga, this Sleazy Flow, nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah, nigga, that's my shit now, nigga. I named myself after it. Now, when y'all do it, y'all doing me. Imagine the Migos would have did Migo Flow.
Yeah.
And they did the shit they was doing. Like, think it was like all branding, bro. Mm-hmm. I just love that you brand yourself. I want to ask you a question. What was the difference between when you were indie and when you signed to a major? Like, I just want to see your perspective.
I feel like,
and you could talk about the goods and the bads, like the negative and the positive from both sides.
I feel like it was, for me, it was like, I ain't even peeping to like, I start getting deep into it, but like, it was freedom, but I didn't realize how much freedom I had until
when you
I signed.
Indie.
Yeah, so it's like, when I first signed, I still thought I had freedom, but the whole time I didn't.
They watching you.
Yeah.
It's like they in the bird's eye view. They're
so
at every
like,
movie you make.
Even when I first dropped Sleazy Flow, I dropped probably like 4 videos that same month.
Mm.
Once you get into a label, it's so much more shit that come with it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you can't just do that.
Yeah.
It's like, you gotta hit the algorithm. It's certain times you can drop. Now you watching like, who dropping on this day, who like, when I was independent,
shit, didn't matter.
I didn't give a fuck who was dropping. I don't give a fuck if it was Sunday, I'm dropping if I want to drop. And it was like, that was something that was like a big difference for me.
I'm gonna tell you something, and Ron, Jay, Natina, none of y'all, don't get mad at me. Do it your way.
Do it your way.
Let me tell you something. I saw NLE Chopper last night. I signed NLE Chopper.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the story of like, when I signed him, you know, like when you sign to a major label, and like for me, it was really frustrating being at a major, because once we acquired, I was like, nigga, it's almost like acquiring a business, right? It's like, if you acquire a business, allow that business
to
be
do what, he do.
What it does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the music business, we acquire you. Now we like, no, you got to play by our rules.
And I feel like a big part of that, it's like, I kind of understand it, but I still don't think it's smart.
It's, you know what it is? It's smart, but it's only smart after you got into a place, right? Because it's like, why are you competing with the Little Babies of the world? Because your label thinks like that. Your label is like, we're competing against Drake and Wiz. But when you were independent, you was like, nigga, I'm just trying to get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, I'm trying to show Kansas City got something. So now when you're part of a bigger system. So when I signed Chopper, we was gonna release his first record. And it was like, you know, in the business, they like, we're releasing it Thursday night at 12 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And Chopper was like, nah, we're gonna do it Friday afternoon at 5:15 p.m.
Yeah.
What? And everybody's like, what? Nigga, no, this is how we do it. And he was like, I don't give a fuck how y'all do it.
Yeah.
This is what I did to get me here. we ain't changing that.
Yeah.
And by the way, we did it. We dropped the record. And when we dropped the record at 5:15 p.m., he says, my fan base is in school. When my fan base get out of high school, middle school, they gonna do their chores, they gonna do their homework, and then they gonna turn on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I want them to see my video just dropped. And we do that, he trends. From that point forward, everything Chopper said is what we would did, we do.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. There is a balance to it because there are levels once you get to a certain place. Now we got to sit back because where everybody's looking. But in the beginning, as you're doing that, like, bro, do it your way. Drop it Sleazy's way.
Nah, for sure.
Don't drop it no other way. And by the way, and anybody that knows me knows, when I worked at a label, this is how I spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nigga, as any artist I ever signed, nigga, I'm like, hey, nah. How did y'all do it before? Well, no, we want to do it y'all way. If we knew, we would be having 10 of you.
Yeah.
If we knew the right way, we would have 10 of y'all doing it the right way, nigga. Meanwhile, we're chasing the ones that are doing it their way because their way is working, and then bringing them into our system and saying, now do it our way, and wondering why it's not working.
Nah, that's a fact.
Nigga, because they know what they were doing. Like, just, we don't know it all. So to me, I only say that to say, like, I like to ask artists questions because sometimes in this show, we like to hold a mirror up. Even if the mirror is to say, damn, I look good.
Mm-hmm.
You might be like, damn, I could do that better. Damn, let me do, because the mirror is up. But when I'm looking at you and I'm watching you, I'm like, yo, bro, whatever you do, keep doing it your way.
Yeah.
And the powers that be ain't going to like that,
not
because
sure.
They care about numbers. But if this is not about numbers right now. This is about you having a career.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to have a career is if you get at least 4 to 5 more real urban hits that like have went gold, platinum. And now all of a sudden you can say, okay, now let's measure. But nah, nigga, don't stop me from doing it Sleazy's way, my nigga, because Sleazy's way got us this way.
Nah, for sure.
And by the time you do it they way, and it don't work, they send you home like it was you.
Yeah, nah, that's a fact.
And you know what I'm saying?
And I feel like that's a big problem in the industry right now, but it is what it is. I feel like you just got to... You got to go through it and learn yourself,
you know
what I'm saying? You got to learn yourself.
So you dropped Sleazy's World. You dropped a couple projects since then. Where are you right now? Like, I'm talking to you like I'm talking to Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I ain't talking to Bill Belichick. I'm talking to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Where are you in your career right now that you're saying, here's the next steps that I got to make because this is what I got to do for my own legacy?
Basically what you saying, just getting back to like doing it my way.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like when I first signed my deal, I'm thinking like, I mean, when you coming from nothing and you signing a deal to a label, you thinking, all right, boom, you gonna automatically think they know what they doing.
Of course.
For you. So it's like, when I signed my deal, I sat back and gave them I gave them the charge. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, y'all do y'all shit, you know, but I didn't pay attention to where it's like, nah, you still got to do it your way. You still got to do it.
Yeah.
So it'll take the fun out of it. And it'll just like, you'll start losing the connection with your fans that way too.
I'm glad you went there.
So it's like, I feel like the next step for me is just getting back to doing it my way.
Yeah.
How I was doing it. You know what I'm saying?
You should drop an album called Sleazy's Way.
Yeah.
Like on some Carlitos Way shit.
Yeah.
Like on some like
Sinatra. I did it
like,
my way.
Like Sleazy's I did it my way. I'm telling you. But like really like, but like define it though.
Yeah.
Define what Sleazy's Way is, right? This is Sleazy's way of dropping music. This is how Sleazy does it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which almost to a point where other people want to adapt that.
Nah,
I
want to
do
hard.
Sleazy. Like, imagine a nigga in the office saying, I want to do it Sleazy's way.
Yeah.
Because that way working. You know what I'm trying to say? That way working. And then also brands. But you should definitely drop an album called Sleazy's Way.
Yeah.
And I mean, No, Aaron.
Yo, Fan.
You know, sometimes nigga behind the camera got to say, I got one to know, Aaron.
I want to go to the beginning for a second.
Go ahead.
What made you delve into music in the first place?
I see, my family come from music. I don't know too much about it, but I know my dad, his mama, like, so my dad, he from Detroit, and like his mama and daddy was like a part of like Motown Records, and they was signed to that shit. Mm-hmm. So it's like when I was growing up, my dad used to always like freestyle for us. Then he used to have me and my brother that's like right above me, like rap battle and shit like that. But my first time actually making a song, I was in the shelter and shit. Me, my mom,
you
and my brother.
You in the shelter?
Yeah, we was in the shelter and we had made a song up in the bathroom.
What?
Yeah.
You said a song in the bathroom?
Yeah, yep.
Like doing a...
Nah. Like my older brother on my dad's side, he had gave us some studio equipment. So like me, it was me, my mom, and my brother right above me. And then I had a younger brother. She just had a baby. And we was all living in the shelter. We had set the little studio equipment up in the bathroom in the shelter. That's when we made our first song. But like after we got out the shelter, we just kept making music from then on.
Man, fuck that, man. You that nigga, bro.
Real talk.
Nah, man, you that nigga, bro.
Real talk.
Nah,
that's
nigga.
A real one.
Nah,
right
real
there,
talk. You trying to dab you, my nigga. Real talk, bro. Like, you made your first record in a shelter?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People right now are finding excuses. I don't got studio. I don't got an engineer. I don't got this. Nigga, you. That's why I got to give you props because you showing.
Nah, for sure.
Ain't no excuse, bro.
Nah, for sure.
It's no excuse to do this shit, bro.
It's not. It's really
none,
not
bro.
An excuse.
How was the song that you made in the shelter? What was it about? You remember it?
I don't even remember exactly what it was about, but that's when that was our first time recording. We recorded ourselves in that motherfucker, and then like I said, when we got out the shelter, we just kept recording.
Yeah,
you know,
no shelter now.
No shelter. We kept recording.
No, I'm saying you don't live in no shelter now.
Nah, hell no.
You got yourself. you got yourself the fuck out.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Talent. That's what talent is. I always say God blesses everybody with talent. Mm. If you honor it, you gonna get paid.
And that's why I fuck with Marco too, cause like his saying, it's a mindset thing.
It's a mindset thing.
That shit really powerful.
Yeah.
Like
it is.
No cap. It's all about how you think.
Yeah.
And how you look at shit. Because for a long time I always felt like I couldn't, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Because of like what motherfuckers may have told me.
So stop there. So what made you, what moment in your life made you say, I can? Like, did you see something, or when they were saying you couldn't, you didn't hear them anyway?
Well, when I used to hear it, I used to try to ignore it, but I still feel like that shit was in the back of my head.
Of course. Because
when you seeing it so much, like I'm growing up, all my brothers was in prison. Like all my brothers still in prison right now. Mm. So it's like all my brothers in prison, all my homies in prison, all my niggas like, or they dying and shit like that. And then it's like the world telling you like, okay, you just a street nigga and you gonna be this, you ain't gonna be nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the environment you growing up in.
Yeah.
Then it's like my mama, she been working my whole life since I was, you know what I'm saying, before
born.
I was born.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, we still in poverty. So it's like, I'm looking at that shit like, okay, a job, that shit ain't gonna change shit. So I'm looking at everything around me, and that'll make you put doubt on your head, like where you come from, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, that shit'll put doubt on your head.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just had to start believing in myself.
Yeah.
So once I start believing in myself.
But nothing happened? Like, you just, what's your sign?
I'm a Capricorn.
Okay.
Top of the year.
By the way, around here we like to ask signs because nigga, you do too. If he would have said he's a Scorpio, you would have been like, Ray, that's what we do, my nigga. By the way, if we ask you your sign on this show, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
That means we want to claim you.
Right.
That means somebody. That means we want. I was hoping you was a Virgo, bro. I was gonna be like, I knew he was a Virgo. My girl's a Capricorn. She would have been like, I told you, we're different. Nothing is like us.
No cap.
Yeah, but like, you just told yourself, like, you just, like, nothing, you didn't see
anything. I feel like the shit I go through is what motivated me.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was going through a lot of shit. So I was in prison for 4 years. I went to prison when I was 17. So, like, when I actually started taking music serious, like, a year before I got out.
Mm.
So it's like, I'm in prison. Everybody leaving me. I ain't got nobody to call on. And it's like, you alone.
Yeah.
And it's like, I only got my thoughts,
you got
God, and my music, my talent, the shit. So it's like, now I'm working on my craft.
Yeah.
And it's like,
in jail.
Yeah, I'm 12, in jail.
12 months out, you know I'm getting out of the year, but nah, I'm going, by the time I get out, it's up.
So it's like, I'm talking to my mama, she out there struggling. She got to put money on the phone for me and all my other brothers. So now all her boys in jail and shit, except for my younger brothers and shit. So they too young. So I'm just like, the shit that I went through, the shit I'm going through, motherfuckers forgetting about me. It was kind of like motivation to me, like, all right, I'm finna work on my craft so I can become something when I come home. So that's when I start believing in myself.
Got you, know? You. No option.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I'm like, because for me, it was my dad dying. My dad dying, it was like, fuck. Like, that was like, it was like life just slapped me in the face. I was like, he had my name.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Damn, that's what's gonna happen to me if I don't Mm-hmm. My dad was 47 when he passed away. Mm-hmm. That number stays in my head every day. I'm like,
every day,
just get past 47.
Just get past it. Be like that.
Because it's like he dies. It's like he just died one day. And I'm like, damn. Because, you know, sometimes I look at myself and I'm like, damn, I'm way past where my father was. Like, look how good I'm doing in life. Then I'll say to myself, you ain't got the 47 yet.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. You got to get past that number because that's how old he was when he passed away. Nah, so I always think about that. That's why I'm like, because you were too young, bro. Like, you were a kid, bro.
Yeah.
You were 17 in jail, my nigga. Yeah. Like, you could have easily, you at that moment, you looked at life and you was like, that's one path. I'm on it. And I know I got to do 4 years this path, but I'm going to go that path eventually.
Yeah.
And you started planning for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No excuses, bro. Like, that shit is,
Nah, for sure.
Shit is powerful. I don't know if you ever looked at yourself like that. Like,
nah, yeah. I feel like when I first got, I remember that shit like it was yesterday. So it's like when I first got in there, it's like, I was just in a bad spot, because like I said, like, you go to jail, motherfuckers you love just stop caring about you, and you in there alone.
They count you out.
So it's like, you start to kind of, like, lose faith, you know? So it's like, you got to regain that shit.
Yeah.
So it's like, I got to thinking to myself, like, all right, how do I work on myself?
Yeah.
You got all this time, now you just work on yourself, you feel me? Ain't nobody in your corner, you only got yourself and God. So it's like, what do you do?
So, and when you in jail at that time, what were you reading? Because you obviously went in one way and you came out a whole nother person. Like, were you listening to something? Were you reading something? Like, were you, like, what was it that was, like, driving you?
I was doing all of that shit. Like, I was working out hellas. I was doing CrossFit up in that motherfucker. I was, going to church and shit. And then I was working on my music. I was really just trying to build myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to take
confidence up. Like,
I'm going to take this time to make myself the better, like the best I can be, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was doing everything I could to just, when I come home, I'm gonna be just
ready.
The best me, you feel me? So I was just really preparing myself for when I actually be released. Cause a lot of times you would get in that motherfucker and you like, damn, I got 4 years, motherfuckers ain't fuck with me, and you would just give up on yourself, you know what I'm saying? So like, I had to believe in myself, I had to keep going. Yeah. So it was like, I feel like that shit helped me.
You got a big purpose in your life, you know that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You feel that?
Mm-hmm.
I'ma challenge you though, just cause I'm a black man that love us.
Yeah.
Next chain you get, I want you to do praying hands.
Yeah.
Not a gun.
Yeah.
And the reason I want you to do praying hands, cause that's a conversation.
Yeah.
Cause when you see the gun, you naturally think, oh, okay, this is a young street nigga. And then you open your mouth, and it's like, no.
But this nigga different. If you pay attention to the chain it's around it, it say more than a shooter. So the gun don't represent what you made.
I'm glad you think, but here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It goes back to how we dropped the project.
Yeah.
We didn't give no room for guessing.
Yeah.
We didn't give you no room to think about what it is. And to me, it is a conversation piece.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there are more conversations in you, and to me, that's the first thing I noticed. Obviously, nah, I'm like, this nigga got a motherfucking chain. This guy, all I'm saying is, next one, make it pray. Yeah. Like, make it pray, because to me, it's like you did what you had to do to get out, but you understood that you had to do different to go further.
Yeah,
right. So it's kind of like a message to the world. It's like today, dog. I'm like, I got my father on my neck. It's like sometimes you just want to show people. I'm like, I got my son with me. I'm like, damn. Yeah. I'm like, I'm gonna let my father shine with us today. Like, while we're on our way to do this interview. Yeah. And it's just sending messages to the world.
Cause
as I'm listening to you talk, I'm like, damn, you special, bro.
Yeah.
You really are. Like, it's something big for you, man. You just gotta, it's like, are you gonna answer it? And I think when you was in jail, you answered it, but you also didn't have a choice. Well, you did. You could have been like, this is my life.
Right.
Yeah. But you had a choice. You were like, nah, when I get out, this gonna be my life. But I want you to know that you still always have a choice.
Yeah.
At where you are right now, like, and you talented as fuck, bro. The music is there. It's just, to me, it's just, how do you separate yourself from everybody else who might be thinking that they doing what you're doing, but you're different, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, y'all niggas want to make music because y'all want to get hoes. Mm-hmm. Y'all want to make music because y'all want to get weed and drugs and all the other shit. And I saw an interview where you said, my outlet was always music. That's all I felt like I had. Like, everybody else got drugs they run to. They ran the alcohol. I ran the music, and you got rewarded.
Yeah.
But I feel like, as I'm talking to you, I'm like, damn, he can run a lot more. He can run a lot further. Like, on some, like, Lil Baby did it, where he kind of came out, and then he started realizing, like, oh, it's another level of rich.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started, like, rapping about it. Like, I told my niggas, y'all come with me if y'all want, but if y'all gonna have to switch it up if y'all want to come get this paper or stay there.
Yeah.
That little message lets you know, this nigga, he going to another place. That got him, that gets him in rooms with the Michael Rubens of the world, the billionaires who also, so it's like, it's almost like you're telling the world, I want something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by that. And, yeah. And as a black man that like just met you and I'm like, I give a fuck about you. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Damn, you need a next chain that like make it something spiritual. Not I don't have to be praying, but make it something spiritual because that's what makes you different.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all nigga, that's why I asked you. That's what made me say you the nigga. I'm like, this nigga rapped.
Yeah.
To get his mom out. Like, nigga, we ain't never going back to this shelter.
Yeah.
That's how I am. My mom was driving school buses, making $2,000. You ain't never gonna drive another school bus as long as I'm living.
Not for sure.
Cause that's different, bro. That's man.
Not for sure.
That's not rapper. That's man shit. You know, mm-hmm. And a lot of these niggas are men, but they ain't man. They don't act like men. They still hide behind the childish shit.
Yeah.
Like, they don't understand the responsibility that comes with the God-given talent.
And
I feel like you do.
Not, you know what's crazy? Like, even just like you saying that, like, me wanting to do that for my mom, I feel like that was just a step. But, like, as I start to grow more and start to realize more, it's like, now I want to do this shit for my people.
Yeah.
For, like, my race. Because I feel like it's kind of like poison, because like I always say this, I remember I was in middle school and I'm in a class and like the teachers made us all stand up and was like, three of y'all step over here, and she like, all y'all right here, like y'all gonna either go to jail or die. And that's what the statistics said. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the statistics of like the hood and shit like that. So I remember being in that group, and I feel like that shit traumatized me, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, damn, this is how life's supposed to be for us. You feel me?
Yes,
so,
bro.
Like, that was a big reason why. I feel like that's a big reason why it's so much doubt. It's a lot of doubt in our community. Where it's like, we don't have no belief. We don't believe we can become nothing.
They don't pump it into us.
Yeah, and it's like, so when we see somebody else that just stand out and start believing and actually make it, we hate on it.
We resent
it. We try to bring it down.
Yes.
And we be like, we try to discredit it. We don't praise that shit. I feel like when I made it, motherfuckers didn't praise me making it.
Yeah.
They got the same shit like, somebody else should have made it. Or he ain't this, he ain't that.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like as a whole, a lot of the shit we've been through, it kind of traumatized us and kind of trained us to like feel like we can't, you know?
I'm going
to
tell you, I always tell a story. They probably tired of hearing it. I was in college.
Yeah.
Business 101. Swear to God, my college class, my professor comes in class and he tells us, I'm 18, bro. He tells a room full of 18-year-old black kids, if y'all don't get out and vote and George Bush wins, all of y'all are fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, I yelled in the classroom, well, why am I here then? Why the fuck, like, you know why I said that? I know they don't tell white kids at Harvard that.
Mm-hmm.
They tell them kids at Harvard, you're gonna run the world. But they told me, if y'all, the world don't go y'all way, y'all fucked. I quit school.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm not going, because I couldn't allow, because you start to believe you ain't shit.
Yeah.
You start to believe it, and then you start realizing, you start looking at TV. That's why I talk, because I'm like, bro, like, you need to know there's a me out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a multi-millionaire version of me out there that you can be a millionaire, everything, live good, and not have to rap about hurting people. Or it's other ways.
Yeah.
And that's what I want our community to see. Like, we're more than just the boys in the hoods and the Menace to Society characters. We're more than that. And I'm looking at a young brother who, if they saw, they would judge immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he probably on some street shit. He just,
yeah.
And it's like, nah, nigga, my mom, I was in jail. My mom, we was in a shelter. Like, nigga, and I still went to music.
Mm-hmm.
I honored the gift. I always tell people, if you honor your gift, God gonna bless you. But you gotta believe it's gonna, you honoring it. You gotta believe that the gift's gonna take you somewhere. Then you get mad at me because I honored my shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm out of, and now you see me on TV, Good Morning Kansas City, and they pissed off because that's a kid from class and shit. But it's like, nigga, we all could be this. You might not be rap for you. I just was on the news for giving away 1,000 laptops.
Yeah.
There's so many ways
there's
to help
so many
our
ways,
community, bro.
But, and it still go back to where it's like, we only seen majority of the, like, the people that's black that was successful, like, for a long period of time, they was either in sports, which was basketball, football, or they was rapping.
Yep.
Like, that's the easiest way out, and it's still hard as fuck for black people to make it. So now, motherfuckers that's coming up and they growing up, they just thinking like, okay, that's our only option.
Yeah.
They think these three things is our only option.
Yep.
But now it's starting to change a little bit more. Now, I think it's like, now black people starting
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Become clothing designers. Yep. They starting to do
way more.
They starting to do way more. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
We're not pigeonholing ourselves.
Yeah. Agreed. But it's so much of us that still is. The majority of us still is.
And that's why people like you are important. Because, like, dog, like, I'm impressed, bro. You really, like, this is an interview I want my kid to see, my son to see. Because I'm like, you ain't give no excuses, bro.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, it's hard already, my nigga. But, like, and by the way, it was hard for me, but. You said something that I want to just bring up. It's just, I have to bring it up. Is that the reason why athletes and rappers are different for the world listening is that athletes are coached, trained. Like, you have 24 hour. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holla at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holla at us to get to YKTV. Coaches, 24-hour trainers, like, especially if they think you got a chance to go on pro.
Nah, for sure.
Oh, nigga, that's when you 14, 15, they start hiring the best coaches, the best everything. When you want to rap, it's like, who do we call?
Nobody.
You gotta almost figure it out yourself.
You gotta study the game. Yeah.
And that's why when I see artists, I'm like, it's no excuses, bro. Mm-hmm. You got people like Sleazy out here who was in a motherfucking fucking shelter, and his brother gave him equipment. Now, guess what he could have done? You could have said, "Let's sell this shit
and make some money and
get out
of
here." But that's you was like, "Nah, let's go in the bathroom.
Yeah,
I'm about to try to rap."
Yeah.
And it's like, and by the way, in some ways, it feels a little dumb. It feels a little like, what?
Yeah.
like, what the fuck you mean? But it's like, it's only dumb if it didn't work.
If it didn't work.
For sure.
And you made it work. That's why I'm like, you the nigga, bro. They can't tell you shit. Like, if I'm at Def Jam or if I'm at Island and they try to talk to me about something, like, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I was in a fucking shelter before I got here.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that scene from, what's the movie? Titanic. Mm-hmm. When he's at the table with all the rich white people and they're like, man. And he was like, man, where are you going when this is over? He was like, I don't know, but I didn't know I was going to be at this table with all you beautiful people eating this wonderful dinner.
Yeah.
And they hated that about him. Like, because he made them see, while y'all are over here making fun of the poor, I'm thankful that I'm one of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't even enjoy being y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all rather make fun of a nigga that ain't y'all. Meanwhile, I'm happy to be one of y'all.
Yeah.
Just shows, it just gives perspective.
Not for sure.
In the moment. And to me, that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you have goals over the next 18 to 24 months, like benchmarks that you want to reach for you right now in your career?
Yeah, I got a lot of goals and benchmarks that I want to reach. For one, I'm big on art and fashion. Like, I'm big on everything I got to do with art. I'm like super into it, you know, whether it's like modeling shit, designing clothing. So it's like right now I'm working on a clothing brand and shit. It's going to be called Bakari. It's going to be like, it's some shit that I want to like build up. I want shit to do real good. I'm going to be going on tour post album. You know what I'm saying? And just really just touching my fans and really doing shit for the community back in my city.
Yeah, you should. I don't know your team here, but I would. Man, you should definitely just stop in every city and just talk at shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Real talk.
Talk to kids. And I'm telling you, bro. Like just
now, that'd be dope.
Every stop. Just go to like, and then by the way, it don't have to be to the adults, like to the kids in the shelter, like gather the kids up and be like, and like imagine you walking there with this chain on. And by the way, I would give the kids merch, like, you know what I'm saying? Give them the Bakari line, like walk in this and give them that and just be like, just know that somebody that gave you this shirt was right where you was and got here. I would, dog, that would be a part of my whole branding. I would be outside doing, talking to kids at shelters. Like, and by the way, and talking to kids in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dog, you come from two places with two kids that are written off. If you're in jail at 17, or if you're in the shelter at 17, you'll be a janitor. We'll see you. You'll work for, or you'll be in jail again.
Yeah.
But you wasn't.
Yeah.
I would love for you to do that, bro. Like, that's the type of shit that we do on this show. Is like, that will separate you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is he talking to kids in shelters? That makes Good Morning America say, we need him on here.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about music. It's about the story. It's about what you've done with the little that you had, and then put that out to other people saying, this is what you can do with the little that you have right now. That's all we are. All we doing right now on the show is bottling it up, inspiration, and putting it, hopefully somebody drinks it.
Yeah.
But I would do that if I was you. Shelters, sure. Jails, like any kid that's in trouble, like I would create like Sleazy's mentorship program. I mean, I'm being like, I'm impressed that you got this far. And you still smiling, my nigga. Like,
nah, for sure.
Because that's another thing that we don't acknowledge. Like, when these black kids come from fucked up places, you expect them to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Nah, yeah.
Nigga, I'm in hell right now, bro. Yeah.
Been 20 years of pain. You want me to smile
I'm
here, now?
By the way, I'm hearing I ain't shit in every room.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I go, I'm hearing, I got to tell myself I'm something to get here.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I act the way I act. I'm like, dog, you can't tell me nothing. You told me I wasn't shit.
My whole life,
my nigga. Then I become something, and that was like, let me tell you what you need to do next. How about no?
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me what to do, bro. I went out on my own. And not only that, I'm not going to let you tell no other little kid they can't either. Because I'm going to tell them like you can. Because now I got proof right here. Like, Ray, were you in the shelter? No, I wasn't. But Sleazy was.
Yeah.
Were you in jail, Ray? No, I wasn't. But Sleazy was. And guess what? He got a platinum record. He signed. He out here making money, touring and everything. So what's the fucking excuse now?
Nah, that's a fact.
That's a fact, bro. That's what I would do if I was you, bro. Yeah. Like,
nah, I'm definitely looking to that.
Yeah,
I never thought of it about in that way.
Yeah, man.
I feel like I always been like, I ain't gonna say I've been ashamed of like where I came from, but I just don't like to speak on it too much. But like I had like, so Turbo executive produced the album.
Mm-hmm.
He flew out to Kansas City and we were just chopping it up before we even start recording. He was just asking me, like, so you feel me? Like, tell me about yourself. So I was telling him, like, more in depth to my story and letting him know all these stories that I'm kind of letting y'all know. And he was just saying, like, bro, I would have never knew that. You got to let the world know your story. It's people that's, like, wishing they had a story like you and acting like they had a story like you.
Bruh.
And, like, nigga, you really got
you
a
really
real story.
You really are that, bro.
Like, you got one of the craziest stories I heard and you ain't saying nothing about it. Like, motherfuckers need to hear this.
Yeah.
So, like, when he told me that, that's when I'm like, all right, bet. Let me open up more, you know, because I don't really do too much on social media. I don't really do too much in interviews. I don't really be out. I don't hang with a lot of other artists and shit like that too much.
Yeah.
I just be in my own little bubble, you know what I'm saying? So, it's like, he kind of opened my eyes to that.
Yeah, you and Funny Marco should also do, like, a festival in Kansas City.
Yeah, I just did a birthday bash. It was kind of like on some festival shit. Yeah. It's like brought other artists in. We performed for the city. I just did a birthday
something
bash
like that.
There.
Like, bro, like it's so many. It's so much more. And in today's market, let me give you something. Don't let these people tell you it's about music. It is about music, but it's more than just
music.
It's
way more.
It's the story. Because when I was in the house and I was like, you know, my family is very involved. They was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm interviewing this kid Sleazy, where I got my kid is 15, daughter 14. I'm like, you heard of him? They was like, And then one of her friends, because my house is like lit for kids. One of her friends like, no, he sing that song. Then I played it. They was like, oh, yeah. So my point is that there's still room to establish yourself in a different way outside of music.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you break an artist in 2024, if they're talking music, they don't understand it. Music is now the background noise.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you watch Rocky Run and you hear, I got the eye of the tiger. And like, you can't hear that song without imagining someone trying to get somewhere.
Yeah,
right? Music has to have a place in our lives now. Or it goes viral, gets lucky, somebody finds it in a moment, and it's like, oh shit, they took my song and they made it the song for football players on Friday nights. Like, you pray for that, but how do you guarantee yourself that?
Mm-hmm.
You connect yourself to subgenres, subcultures, people, different things, right? Like, I always tell people, if you're into cooking, then shit, you should go be on a motherfucking, it's YouTubers that cook every day.
Every day.
And you could be on their YouTube, but now you cooking with them playing their music. But you, on the other hand, you could be doing community work. Like, imagine if you had a song on your album that was for that. Like, imagine you had a song on your album that was like similar to what
called
Tip Give did.
Back. It's called Give
called
Back.
What Tip, mm-hmm. what Tip did, Still Ain't Forgave Myself. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know if you know about that. You got to be a certain age. But Tip, on his first album, he did this song called Still Ain't Forgave Myself. And he basically rap about all the bad shit he did. Mm-hmm. Like, all his friends, like, I remember me and such and such did this and got arrested. Still ain't forgave myself. Or I remember this dude got killed. Still ain't forgave myself. So imagine if you had a song speaking mm-hmm. about, nigga, I'm in the shelter. Mom, this. We getting this. Mm-hmm. We doing this. And nigga, we still came out.
That's what Ole Ole is.
So then, okay, so then that's it. So then let's take that. And now you take that and you play it for a room full of kids like you. Mm-hmm. Right? And then let them tell their stories. Like, now you're putting a light on this kid is 15 and mm-hmm. he's saying, my dad's in jail, mom's this and this. Now people are looking like, damn, you become way bigger than just a rapper. Mm-hmm. You become a vessel for inspiration, freedom, like opening doors, like connecting, like you become that. And at that moment, your music becomes bigger. Mm-hmm. Then your music becomes bigger, but you become bigger.
Nah, for
and
sure.
If you're bigger than your music, nigga, shit.
Yeah. That's the ultimate win.
Yeah, that's the ultimate goal. Win. Beyonce's bigger sure. than her music. If you look at all the stars, they're bigger than their music. They actually make the music feel bigger. Mm-hmm. Rather than in the new music business, they're like, he has a gold record. That's how they measure him. Oh, he went platinum today. Mm-hmm. That, oh, he has to be somebody. Mm-hmm. Not in the world of streaming. Mm-hmm. We don't even know who the people are listening. We don't even know why they listening. We don't even know why they connected. Mm-hmm. You got to tell them why to connect. And if you do it that, I'm telling you. Now imagine somebody seeing you on Academics, and now it's like Sleazy's world was in a shelter. People gonna be in the comments. Oh, this nigga with this big ass chain on. Boom, boom, boom. Then it becomes, oh, he was one of them. Oh, that's fire, bro. Yeah. It's different now. It's not. Yeah. I'm not flexing on y'all.
Yeah.
I'm showing y'all the possibilities of what y'all could be if y'all apply yourself. And what can you do today? Fuck being in the shelter. Fuck. I know you feel like you waiting to get out the shelter. You waiting to this, but I was in the shelter. Nigga, we went in the bathroom and made a song. Mm-hmm. There's no excuses, and ain't nobody coming to save us. I save us.
Nah, for sure.
I save us. Like, and that's why I feel like when you feel us, like, I was like, man, I retired when I turned 40. I retired, mm-hmm. and I was like, I gave my family $100,000, and I was like, I just gave everybody money, and I was like, I'm retired. And I was like an hour later, I was like, oh, I'm coming out of retirement now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, real talk. I'm like, no, real talk. I'm like. My first chapter of my career, like, I compared it to Kobe. Like, when I wore number 8, it was about y'all. Now I'm going to go wear number 24, that's and right. It's about the world. Mm-hmm. I want to help as many people as I can help. And I wanted to, and I don't think I can go out and help people with y'all, because y'all motherfuckers will be out there like, he ain't did shit for us. You know how family is, right? Yeah. You ain't did shit for us. Your mama's still living. Nope, mama's in the mansion. Mom drives a Range Rover. Like, you can't. My sister lives in the mansion. Like, now I've got y'all straight. I want to go help the world. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I'm at now with doing this. So my interviews ain't about, like, bragging on how much money you made. Mm-hmm. That's cool, my nigga. Mm-hmm. My interviews for people like Mosky right there, Muhammad, who's like, who got a dream. I'm like, nigga, you looking at you. He looked mm-hmm. like he could be your little brother right now, little Muhammad.
For sure.
That's what I'm saying. He like he could be your little brother right now. He got a dream. My shit is for him.
Yeah.
I want people like, if you want the low vibrational, how he did this, nigga, I ain't that guy for you. Mm-hmm. I know the power of poison. Mm-hmm. I can't put that out there. And by the way, good people do bad shit sometimes to get out of a bad situation, mm-hmm. my nigga. I did too. I used to sell drugs. I used to do all types of fuck shit. Mm-hmm. But I got robbed, and God was like, you want to go chase your dream for real now? And I was like, you know what? I had a gun in my head. I'm like, I hear you. Get me out of this. I'm done. I'm done, bro, because it's possible. Mm-hmm. And you are a clear example of the possibilities if you believe in yourself. And I remember you saying that your older brother rapped, and y'all thought he was going to be the one.
That's the one that rapped with me in the shelter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
He's right over you.
Yeah.
So was he like kind of like your motivator, and you just followed through, or was he the alpha in the room saying, man, fuck that, let's go do this?
I feel like I always loved music, but I didn't love making it at a point in time.
Gotcha.
It's like I didn't know that's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
But I was super good at it, because I was young creating these catchy, I was always the one like creating the catchy shit and all the good shit. You know what I'm saying? But we all looked at my brother that's right above me. It's like, okay, he going to be the one, because he took it way more serious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
So where, why didn't he compare to you? Like, from your, if you look back, what do you think it is that made you go and him not? Was it an attitude thing, a talent thing?
I feel like it was a mindset thing, in a way we looked at, we look at life differently. Me, okay. And look at life differently. And he just kept going to jail. I feel like, well, he was like, before he just got locked up recently.
Yeah.
I was working on getting him signed. Yeah. So he was building a big fan base, and he still got potential to do it, but he just, like I said, we look at life differently. Yeah. We move different.
Yeah.
So it was like,
so he locked up right
I'm
now.
More of a, yeah, yeah. I'm
how,
more
how
of
long?
A, he got probably like, well, he in a fed, so they sentenced him to like 8 years, but he only got to do like four.
Got you.
Yeah. So like, he got
so
like
how long
three
before
left.
He get, right. Like three left?
Yeah, he got like three left.
By the time you get out, bro, I want you to be global fucking superstar, like, and just show him like, nigga.
But he got to see, that's the beauty of it. He got to see it before he went down, you know, but he still like beat himself up about that shit, like, to this day, like, man, at least he got to see it and shit like that. I was able to show him the lifestyle before he got locked up. But
exactly.
I
just want you to be like at the top. So the Bakari clothing line, any other goals that you have over the next 2 years, that you benchmarks that you want to achieve for yourself?
I really want to win a Grammy, and I feel like I can because I'm so talented when it comes to like music and creating, like, even with the project More Than a Shooter, like, if you go listen to it, I got songs on there like Insecure, and it's tapping into like females, you know, a female have a kid, now she insecure about her body, or a female feel like she ain't got this long natural hair, so now she insecure, she want to wear wigs every day, or a female got acne, so she want to put makeup on, or she just don't like how her face look without makeup. And it's really tapping onto that. And I feel like as men, I love my woman the most when she natural.
Me too.
I don't give a fuck about that makeup shit. I don't give a fuck about none of that. So it's like the song is like, you don't like the way you look without your hair done, but I do.
Yeah.
And it's just letting them, it's giving them reassurance. You know what I'm saying? It's like the way you look at yourself is totally different how I look at you.
Yeah.
And I feel like even on the whole album, I just got real music where it's just like, I'm like, even the songs for females, I ain't just saying you look good, babe, or you did this and that. It's tapping into real shit that they really dealing with. And I don't feel like it's a lot of music like that out there for women or men, you know?
Another idea. What I would do is I would do a series where you talk about you break down every song. Cause see, here's another thing. Like in the world of music, I always say the future is if you can't be a great storyteller, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because if there's 150,000 songs coming today and that means 750,000 songs, that means almost over a million songs a week.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's 1,050,000 songs a week, if I'm not mistaken. How am I gonna listen to yours? That means you have to find, I have to hear something relatable to make me say, oh, because that's all viral is. Like Money Law, Hours and Hours. It's all someone did was put up a video celebrating love. Now people are like, oh, that's a song where we celebrate our love. Now I'm gonna put up a montage of me and you. And that song almost became the song that we celebrated our love. She could have said that. I did this song to celebrate me and my, now it becomes easier for the listener. She might have done that already, but for you, listen to you talk about your songs makes me want to go listen to them. Like every time you talk about song, I'm like, damn. Like when you say Ole Ole, I'm like, I gotta go listen to that shit again now. I didn't get that, but it's because of what you said.
Yeah.
So I would just do a series where I talk about my music and talk about the song, like almost like Who It's For, like a series called Who It's For, right? Where it's like we say Ole Ole, who is it for? I made that song for kids. Boom 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 boom. So now you're almost pairing the songs with their audience. And even if it's not me, I might feel like I want to listen to it because I want to hear from that person's perspective.
Yeah.
Now it becomes like a series where it's like, because a lot of time artists want to talk the music, let the music talk. Nah, the music don't talk no more. We talk for the music now. We tell you what the music is for. Or we pray that somebody figures it out, an influencer figures it out, and then they do it themselves. But imagine if you did that video. You just gave it to them. Like now it's like, if you're an influencer, you're struggling to do this, here's a song for that. Damn, now I got it. And mind you, it'll just live on your YouTube, but it'll attract an audience to you. It'll attract people to you immediately because now people are like, nah, this song was for that. It's like when Jay-Z did, It's a Hard Knock Life. He didn't say, It's a Hard Knock Life for me.
Yet.
He said, It's a Hard Knock Life for us.
Yeah.
Instead of treated, we get tricked. Instead of kisses, we get kicked. Now, don't get me wrong, that's Annie. That's a little white orphan song. Mm-hmm. But the message everyone can relate to. And you're giving us messages that everyone can relate to. Just give us the message with the music. Nah. I promise you, little things like that is going to make people draw to you, because you don't, you never know how that affects them. And mind you, the song might get 1 million views. Mm-hmm. That might get 10,000. But that 10,000 made 10,000 real fans.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers who are like, nah, like, motherfuckers that's like, you can't even say nothing bad about him. Mm-hmm. That's how much I connect to his story, because that means you talking about me. Though I was not a Kobe Bryant fan my whole life. Like, yeah. I couldn't say I'm a Knicks fan. I just peaked the colors. Yeah. I'm a Knicks fan. I hated Kobe Bryant, bro, until 2009. My mentor says, why you don't like him? He's arrogant. He thinks he's the best. Da-da-da. He was like, okay. Well, that's true. And he's like, let me ask you a question, though. Do you work hard? I'm like, of course I do. Do you work harder than everybody in your class? I'm like, nobody works harder than me. Like, I forgot what we was talking about. I'm like, nobody works harder than me. He's like, all right, you wake up in the morning, do you expect to win? I'm like, hell yeah, I expect to win. Why do you expect to win? Because I worked so hard yesterday at it. Well, you guess what, nigga? You Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
At that moment, I just liked him. I was like, damn. I love this nigga now. Like, nah, you know what I'm trying to say?
Hell
it's like,
yeah.
It just, that little fucking 30 seconds made me love Kobe. Imagine if you gave us 30 seconds or a minute of every song. You just put it on your Instagram where it's like, now I'm interviewing you. Somebody interviewing you. Yo, Sleaze, when you made, who is this song for? Oh, that song? That song. How many songs on the project? I said like 18, 19. It's a lot.
20.
20. That's 20 pieces of content that drive us right to the fucking album. Mm-hmm. And now, mind you, I might connect with two of them. He might connect with two of them. He might connect with one. He might connect with five. But you just, now instead of having to go listen to understand the interpretation, you just gave it to us. Mm-hmm. So now we're listening with the interpretation, and now we're listening differently now.
Yeah.
Now I'm listening for the
now you're listening.
You don't got to figure it out. Now we just receive sense. It now. Just yes. receive it.
Yeah.
Something like that, bro. I would
not
do that too.
That's raw. No, that's raw.
That's what we do here, my nigga. Yeah. That's what I told you when we started. Like, we don't really interview. We just kind of like kick it, but I do this for a living, my nigga. All these plaques, like every plaque is a story. Like me sitting in the room like, oh man, like when we did Sweetie Best Friend, I was like, that's the record. Why you think that's the record? I'm like, I know it is because I would celebrate that with my best friend. And it reminds me of my daughter and her little homegirl. That my best friend. She a real bad chick. Got her own car. I'm like, it celebrates us. No, I know that's going to work. And it works. So it's like, music tells the story. Or we tell the story for the music, and then it works. Mm-hmm. That's all you got to do, bro.
Not for sure.
Tell the story, my nigga. I promise you, 20 series. Drop it over time. You don't got to drop it in 1 week.
Five
drop
at
it
a time.
Over fucking. Mm-hmm. Drop two a week. Mm-hmm. That's 10 weeks. That's 2.5 months of you giving us guaranteed content, telling us who a song's for. Like, who that made? I made that for women. Women that struggle with this. If you don't think you're beautiful, that's a song you listen to and you're beautiful. Damn, let me go listen to that now. Damn, who we make this song for? I made that song for kids like me. Da da da. That's why I said this in the lyrics. Oh, damn. Now it becomes like, I'm telling you, man, it becomes like cultish.
Nah,
it becomes
sure.
like you the pastor, you the choir, you the motherfucker handing out the bowl.
Yeah.
it's your church, bro. I'm telling you, I would do that.
That'd be hard.
Yeah, because you're really good at articulating what you're doing. And as we're talking about it, you obviously are smart enough to know what you're doing. So you're like, yeah, I did that for that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that to me, those two ideas, talk to kids in shelters, talk to kids in jail, set that up. I don't know if it's your manager, but I would say set that up, talk to kids in shelter and jail, but then also do the series where we say who I made that for.
Yeah, who was
right?
for.
Who was for, right? So now you pointing out who it's for. And then at the end of that, play a clip of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Play the clip where it says that. Like, highlight the lyric of the moment that says that. Those things have nothing to do with music. They have everything. They just pieces to get to know you, and it connects to everything that's your story, and the music is a soundtrack, and now we have a superstar. That's how you do it.
No, that's hard.
That's how you do it.
That's hard. I do. Like, I like that one, especially that who was for. Yeah. In the shelter shit, though.
Yeah. Like, who was for? Like,
because I'm big on all my songs. Like, I know the meaning behind every song I make.
Exactly.
So it's like, and I know a detail too.
Yeah. Like the thought process.
It's crazy because when I was signing my deal, when I was like meeting labels and shit, I didn't have like no manager. I didn't have no lawyer and shit at the time and shit. But I knew what I wanted and I knew what I didn't want.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like when I was going into these label meetings and I was meeting these label people, I automatically tell them like, I'm not here to talk about money. I'm here to talk about, like, to see, to get to know y'all and let y'all get to know me. So like I'm not gonna sign a deal based off of money. That's what I was letting them know. So money never got brought up in none of the meetings. So I play them music, and after I play them each song, I break the song down. And one time I was at Columbia, and I played them some music, and it was a song I played, and I broke it down, and they was in there crying because it touched them that much in there, you know. So it was just like the A&Rs, they was in there crying. I'm like, damn. That shit really
impactful. Powerful.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? And like just like you said, it's like they was realizing how deep the music was.
Yes. Now it goes, now they don't see the gun on the chain no more. Mm-hmm. They don't see the dreads. They don't see, now they see a human like them.
Yeah.
Now you just made yourself human to them. Yeah. Right? Like that's all they want. That like we, I would tell artists, I'm like, the old days you had to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like we didn't think being like Michael Jackson or Prince was possible, my nigga. Right. It's just all we could do is appreciate them.
Nah, for sure.
Puff was like Puff Daddy, you know, like, and now it's like I want to look at you as an artist, like across, like I want to look you eye to eye. I don't want to look up at you no more.
Right.
I want to look directly at you. I want to. Don't get me wrong. I feel like I'm that nigga too. That's why I want to feel like that. And your music makes me feel like that. Your music connects with me. So now I look at you like my peer. Now I'm in the struggle with you, nigga. Everything you, when something happened, I'm like, y'all don't know, it only happened because I know you now.
Yeah, nah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, you got a real opportunity, bro. That's what I would say to you. Like, those two things, you have to talk more. If a billion people saw this interview, how many fans do you think you'll have? That's how you gotta look at it, right? Yeah. Nigga, I feel like, nigga, at least half a billion, nigga, would be like, I like this kid.
Yeah.
So you gotta talk more.
Yeah.
You gotta get, I might get fucking 100,000 from him, 25,000 from her, 18,000 from him, but I gotta talk more, because the more I talk, the more I'm giving someone a chance to connect with me and my music. If they hear my music, they might just connect with my music. That's why my kids is like, oh, I know that song. Oh yeah, I know that song. But I'm like, this interview will make them know you.
Yeah.
A clip of you saying, I was homeless, I was in a shelter, I was getting picked on, I was this. That shit make people be like, damn, that's what I'm dealing with right now. That's why that's my motherfucking new hero right now. That's my favorite. Yeah. I'm telling you, bro.
Not for sure.
It's that simple, man. It's that simple. Anything else, Rick? You got anything?
No, I'm good. Oh, yes, I do got something. 2023, XXL cover.
Yeah.
Freshman class.
Yeah.
That's an accomplishment.
Nah, for sure.
That's a long crazy. Way from the bathroom.
Yeah.
At the shelter. That's a that long way from the shelter at the bathroom, man.
Yeah.
Congrats on that.
I appreciate that.
It only goes up from here.
Yeah.
You know, you raised the bar for yourself. Now you have to keep it here. You know, and a lot of the things that we said today, that's how you keep it there and raise it. You know what I mean? No, looking forward to seeing what you got going on, man.
Yes, sir.
Man, it's all the spotlight. I was sleepy on the way over here.
Yeah.
Nigga, you woke me up, bro.
Yeah.
You got me, like, excited, bro, because I want my kids to know it's people like you out there. Like, I know that sounds crazy. As a nigga that do music, you know, you be in these rooms, and sometimes you got to be like, damn, like, I know we're going to make money from this, man, but, like, how much poison is in this? You ain't that at all, bro. You actually really are inspiration for these young kids that can do this shit, man.
I
want you to keep winning, bro. Like, I'm a big fan, my nigga. You made a fan today. I heard all the music, by the way. Let's clap. But I heard all the music. I liked it. I was like, this nigga, I was gonna go somewhere totally different. I was gonna really talk about how you kind of cheated the music business, because Sleazy Flow didn't really have a prominent hook.
Yeah.
You were the hook. And I was really going to be like, that's hard. That's where I was going to go. But then I heard you talk. I was like, oh, this nigga different.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, brother, this Artist Spotlight, we support you. I hope everybody watching this supports you. Like, please do those other things.
Yeah. You're going to see me doing it. You're going to see me doing it.
That's all I want to see you do, because I want the world to see who you are, bro. I want to see you on. Your story is news, top tier news worthy. It is a 2020 special.
Yeah.
It is a fucking, it is The View worthy. It is Good Morning America worthy. It's like, how? And I don't want you to miss that just because they see a street nigga that's rapping. Nah, nigga, I'm way more than that.
Yeah.
And I just feel like when you talk, they'll see it. And you know, look at Jay-Z. He was a crack dealer. Now he's got a non-figure deal with the fucking NFL and Puma. And like, it's because we figured out his story. Tell your story. You're going to be good.
For sure.
My nigga. Thanks for being on the show, brother. This is Artist Spotlight. Shout out to our sponsor, Two Loss. And shout out to y'all for watching. And let's support this brother right here, because He ill. Let's go.
Let's go.
My nigga.